All right, let's get to your the national nightmare is excuse me regional nightmare is over out there in the Central Valley. Tim Drueter out as head coach.
Yes,
finally.
Well, do we want to talk about the game first, or do we want to talk about the?
Let's do the game first.
38-20 Utah State. It was more or less, if you've been watching Fresno State week in and week out, it was a lot of the greatest hits in a sense, because. You know, they really struggled to run the ball again, which, you know, didn't surprise a lot of people. You know, Dontell James only had 80 yards on 29 carries. Chase and Virgil, if you take away his long play, I think I looked up, he only averaged like 4.2 yards per pass. If you take away the one 22-yard pass he threw to Delbon Hardaway.
Chase and Virgil looked okay, though. He wasn't terrible.
Well, they just weren't able to throw the ball down the field.
And Peck doesn't help either. Aaron Peck was out with an injury.
That's also true. And so, I mean, they were able to sustain more drives on offense than I think they were pretty much at any point this season. You know, their first touchdown drive especially, it was 15 plays, 86 yards. If I remember correctly, somebody tweeted it, somebody else in the local media, that was like the longest scoring drive of the season. And, you know, they had other drives later in the game where that were, you know, 77 yards for another touchdown, you know, 65 yards for a field goal. So they were able to put drives together in a way that they really weren't from week to week in a lot of places. So, you know, I give them a little bit of credit for that. They just didn't have any semblance of a downfield game. And then on the flip side, you know, once again, the pass rush was missing in action, and Kent Myers had a pretty good game, all things considered. Like, he didn't get sacked at all, which must have been a nice change of pace for a lot of Aggies fans out there. And, you know, he only had 188 yards, but he was 17 of 29, and he had 3 touchdowns. They didn't have any turnovers or anything like that. And so, you know, I think if you're an Aggies fan, you probably feel good for getting off the schneid and finally getting that first conference win. If you're a Bulldogs fan, you know, now you're kind of facing the unknown.
Mm-hmm. Unknown of joy.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if a new head coach makes any difference at all.
What do you think really quick of that field goal late in the game that was trying to, like, what's the point of that?
Well, I mean, for those of you who didn't watch the game, they were down 31-17. And it was, I'm trying to remember what point it was. It was early in the fourth quarter with about 12 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to the Utah State 32-yard line, and they elect to kick a field goal. And I was one of the people that didn't understand it at all.
It was odd because you're not moving the ball well. It still makes an 11-point game. It's still a 2-score game regardless.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at the drive chart, I'm trying to remember what exactly the down and distance was on that fourth down. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was.
It was questionable, but wasn't it overly long? I think it was like maybe eight yards, I want to say.
It was fourth and 7 at the 32-yard line. So while, you know, I give credit to Cody Cronin for making the field goal, because that 49-yarder was a career high.
He crushed it, too.
Yeah, and he crushed it. But at the same time, you know, the very next drive, Utah State marches down the field.
Game over.
And, I mean, it wasn't only that, too. But, you know, they had a couple of really critical penalties on that following drive, too. You know, they had an unsportsmanlike conduct. They had a face mask that each cost them 15 yards. And basically made it really easy for Utah State. So, yeah. I mean, I don't want to see you want to see a team that literally has nothing left to lose to just, like, put it all out there. And that was one of those situations where, you know, me and other people in the local media around here were just saying that, you know, you're supposed to let it all hang out. And they let that chance go. And Utah State made them pay for it. And that might be kind of emblematic of how this entire season has gone, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Also, some people were saying that spread was 14 points. And so,
yeah.
Make it 11.
Yeah, of course.
So half kidding, but you never know. I'm just saying, like, somebody tweeted to us, what's the line in this game? And that's what it was. So, do you want to get to the evacuation of DeRuiter?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into that. So
go ahead.
DeRuiter's gone. They're going to pay him his full contract. If you didn't see the press conference, I would direct your attention to our Facebook page.
Yes, please.
Mountain West Connection. And you can watch the entire thing because I was there and I watched the entire thing with our athletic director, Jim Barco, and the university's president, Dr. Joseph Castro. And they both emphasized that they're going to pay him, they're going to honor their commitment to him, which is basically paying him the over $3 million that they owe him.
Yeah, $3.11 million is the number.
Yeah, so DeRuiter's gone. And next
Ooh,
week,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be Eric Kitzau at the helm.
So tell people who that is. Who's that?
So he's the offensive coordinator that they brought in from Alabama last year. He's been in this kind of situation before, like when
Kansas.
I think it was 2014. Yeah. I was trying to remember what year it was. But when the Kansas Jayhawks fired Charlie Weiss a couple of years ago, they elevated him to be the primary play caller. And, you know, while this isn't quite the same thing, you know, he's had experience stepping into that situation before on an interim basis. And, you know, in that same year, they almost knocked off TCU. So it's not like he didn't have an impact there. But I have my doubts as to whether that will really change anything. Because if you've been watching the last few weeks, you know, I've talked at length about the fact that, you know, they have some explosiveness in the passing game, but it doesn't show up when you really need it. Like, you know, they have this tendency of getting like really big passing plays when the game is already well out of reach.
When they're playing pre-event, like, who cares?
Yeah. So, you know, part of that's the problem. Like, they just don't have any semblance of a downfield passing game. And I don't know exactly how much that's going to change with a new head coach.
And so with that, a couple of things with him, like I think he's the most logical sense, because I mentioned, if you've been paying attention closely enough to the show, if you do, thank you. But I mentioned before that this is kind of the last chance for DeRuiter. And my point, getting back to where this guy getting the interim tag, outside of the defensive coordinator, wasn't basically everybody a new hire on this team?
I mean, most of the position coaches were, yeah. Like, Ward is new on the defensive coordinator.
South Carolina.
Joe Bernardi is new. He coaches the tight ends.
Well, they reorganized the defensive coordinator from last year. He's still on staff. Isn't he linebackers coach now, I want to say?
Yeah, Nick Toth is in charge of the inside linebackers.
Toth, yeah.
So, you know, I'm just not sure, man, because if you look at the team as a whole, like, the passing offense especially, like, I don't think there's any mistake about this that, you know, Virgil's going to be the quarterback of the future. And I'm still on board with him being the starter for the remainder of the year. And it might seem dumb from a distance, but, you know, he's learning on the job. And I think what it will come down to is they really need to improve their recruiting efforts. Like, they need to make more of an effort to bring in better offensive linemen. Because they've started to shuffle the deck a little bit. Like, I think they have one or two new starters on the offensive line from the beginning of the season. So they're starting to look at that. And I think they need to continue looking at that because, you know, keeping him upright, keeping him healthy is going to be really critical to the team's success going forward. I mean, if you compare it to what's going on at San Jose State, for example, you know, Kenny Potter is getting killed week in and week out. So we should probably be thankful that the situation isn't quite as dire as that.
Yeah. 20 sacks almost. I want to say 25 sacks, 30 sacks.
Oh, it's way more than that. But, you know, my point is that, you know, the offensive line needs work. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. You know, he's a quarterback that I think can thrive if they find the right system, because, you know, Peck is going to be gone next year, but Keyshawn Johnson and Jameer Jordan are going to be back. And they're both very talented, if you ask me.
At the running game, and young guys seem pretty well, I would say. Yeah. People like them.
And Dontell James will be back as well. And when he gets healthy, they'll have, you know, Bryson Oglesby back. They have Jared Rice or Justin Rice. I forget which one's the tight end, which one's the running back.
That's okay. That guy.
But, you know, they will have running backs coming back next year, and, you know, as well as Deontay O'Neal, who got injured earlier this season. So, you know, the offense has a chance to grow together. It's just going to be kind of a long process, and I don't know that it's going to quite happen by the end of this year. So, you know, Bulldogs fans are probably going to have to be patient, which, you know, maybe asking a lot of them at this point, but that's really the only option there is.
There's a couple of things with it. He's the right choice. They play Air Force short week Friday night. And your question was great during the press conference because your question was, well, tell us what your question was about. So you go ahead. You said it.
So the question was that I asked was why now? Because if you look at the margins of defeat, you know, they aren't quite as drastic as, you know, some of the results from earlier in the season. Like they got blown out at Nebraska, right? And they got blown out at Toledo. But, you know, and then, of course, they gave up the 31-point lead to Tulsa. But if you look at, like, the last 3 weeks, you know, they only lost by 5 in Nevada. You know, and they only lost by 2 scores to San Diego State, which, you know, again, it's kind of getting the life sucked out of them on offense more than anything. And, you know, they were within 11 late against Utah State. So they're, you know, if you squint hard enough, maybe you make the argument that there's some progress. And I wish I could remember his answer off the top of my head, but...
Well, what he said, I do recall what he said. Basically, his thing was, because it's not conference play, what if we started the schedule we have, we could be 2-0 in league play heading into San Diego State with a conference title or division title still a possibility. Which, I get his point, because technically, yeah, it's a non-conference game, doesn't mean as much, but... As I told you, we were chatting before, there's a reason LSU fired Les Miles when they did. They didn't want him to have the chance to have this massive turnaround. There's a reason about, I forget a while back, going back to University of Utah basketball, where they had Ray Giacoletti, they fired him, I think, or said he's going to finish the season, but I don't think postseason was a possibility, but they had like one or two games left, and one of those was the BYU game. And he coached extremely well and beat BYU multiple times in basketball. But they're like, they're thinking was fire him now because fans will be upset if he beats BYU and gets fired. And so same with LSU, like last year with Les Miles, there's all the hubbub about him being gone, but he ran off at, I think, a 9-win season. That's kind of where Bartko had the opposite effect in this world. Let's see if he can win his job back to keep it. And I bet part of it, I think we'd both agree, was the amount of money. If they somehow, because who did they play first? Was it UNLV and who was the other conference game?
It was the two-game swing in Nevada. So it was UNLV and then the
Wolfpack. Reasonable games that nothing amazing. Like games most teams would say, okay, we can beat them. They're not these great teams, Rebels or Wolfpack. So I'm thinking his idea was if they can win these two games or 2-0 in league play, he could save his job and we'll save $1 million or so bucks because we're not going to fire him if he starts off that well.
Yeah. And I guess that makes sense to me. It's just... You know, it's kind of hard when you keep seeing the same trends week in and week out. And I think that was mostly what I was trying to get at. I just probably didn't put it in the proper context when I had the chance.
Hey, no, it's still fair. I don't know why he should have picked up on it. But so here's where we're at right now. Coaches, before the press conference started, there's a report that it's your favorite pal, Jeff Tedford.
Yeah. Tedford, Bookbird.
Do you what do you feel? Do you think the report's accurate? Because he says it is. It's who is it? George Takataka. George Takata. Who is it again?
Yeah, George Takata. Takata, I believe he's the local NBC affiliate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have thoughts on Jeff Tedford, but I'll save them for the or for the inevitable article.
You sure, give us a peek. What do you give us a sneak peek? Come on.
I may have laid it out elsewhere. I just don't see the fascination with him. And it's part of this larger concern that I have because a lot of the fan base around here, and I'm sure this is reflective of every fan base, the fans want a Fresno State guy to replace Drudder. And so a lot of the names that you're going to hear about are guys that have Fresno State connections. Not only Jeff Tedford, you know, Lane Kiffin's already been thrown out Trent there. Dilfer. I don't think... It's going to happen. Oh, God. Let's not get into
just saying. Fresno names. I heard. Yes. Hold on. What did I hear? Trent Dilfer OC, David Carr, quarterbacks coach.
Oh, God. I just want to roll my eyes so hard. You can't even see it right now, but that's what I'm doing. But, you know, even the more reasonable names, like, you know, I believe the SEC Network or the SEC Football Twitter page mentioned Doug Nussmeier as someone who's going to be interested.
Yeah, I saw that as well. He's
the Fresno State guy. So, and, you know, even further down, you know, you're talking about other guys like...
But that was not even a big mention. That was from Dan Wolkin tossing that name out there, and he's the same guy who replied to about... Jim Druder's going to be a hot commodity as a DC.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, even further than that, you know, if you're looking, talking about guys like Tim McDonald, who has no coordinator experience, let alone as a head coach, you know, Tim Skipper is another name that's being thrown around. He's a former Bulldog. Pat Hill is probably going to get his name thrown around quite a bit. So
I think he likes his job broadcasting the games more.
I think you're right. And to me, like, the whole thing just, like, it's so limiting. I feel like they really need to keep all of their options open. And the reason I say that is because if you look at, like, kind of the hiring trends of the last couple of years, what teams do is they, more often than not, they hire up-and-coming coordinators. Mm-hmm. And granted, that's what they did with Druder, right?
But he had that record of a great defense at Air Force and Texas A&M, so you can't say that. Like, looking back at bringing him in, you can't say... I thought that was a good move because of what he did. And coupling who they had offensively, figured that'll be a good fit. We have offense to go with a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of looking around what other teams are doing in the group of five. Like, to me, what I think Fresno State needs to do, what I hope they do, and that they probably will not do, they need to find someone like PJ Fleck. Because PJ Fleck went to Western Michigan. He didn't have any... obvious ties to the university because he played college football at Northern Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, he was a coach at Rutgers for a couple of years. He was a wide receivers coach for the Tampa Bay Bucks for a year. And then he got hired by the Broncos, and now they're, what, 8-0 now and nationally ranked?
Doing pretty well.
And he stepped into a situation that might have been even worse than the one Fresno State is in right now. And they're neck and neck with Boise State right now for that, you know, group of five New Year's Eve spot. To me, that's the kind of guy they need to keep their eye on. And when I have more time to think about it and write about it, I will come up with my own list of guys that I think they should consider.
Can I give you the one and only choice? Can I give you the one and only choice? Or top choice?
Go for it.
Or top choice?
Okay.
Bob Stitt.
I would be okay with Bob Stitt because Bob Stitt knows how to win.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Colorado School of Mines head coach forever. Famously, with you had the Dana Holgorsen 70 pounding in the Orange Bowl, that jet sweep, fly sweep, whatever it was. Innovative coach. He's not Montana, doing pretty good things. And he's a guy like you want. It's not a former Fresno guy, which is, it's fine if it is, but he's an up-and-comer, but he also has a lot of experience as a head coach.
Yeah, exactly. So to me... We're not going to know anything for like another month, basically.
Yeah, because what do they say? What's that 14-day period? Is it a state mandate? You have to have a job open for 2 weeks or something?
Yes.
So 14-day period. So anybody can apply, but are they going to accept it? You know what I mean? What are they going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all the particulars of how that works. So, but I mean, at a minimum, we're not going to know anything until season's end. And so, you know, the rumors obviously are going to swirl around, you know, guys like Kiffin and Tedford mostly. But stay tuned for my take on who they should be, the kinds of people they should be looking at, because it's not Tedford and it's not Kiffin or anything like that.
Really quick, because I guess the Fresno Beast House coming, as we kind of did as well, Merrick Wazowski, he put a list out there. I'll just go through names really quick. I do have some thoughts on Lane Kiffin really quick. I know we're going long, but I'll mention those in a second. But I don't know if he put in numerical order, but he started one through whatever. Kiffin, Tedford, Steve Sarkisian. Ooh, I don't know. Maybe. You mentioned Tim McDonald.
Wait, do we want to go through, I tweeted about all of these, but do you want to go through them real quick and I can give you my reactions?
Yeah, let's start real quick. We know Keith. I'll start with me and Kiffin really quick. Here's the reason why he could be a good fit. Big schools might be afraid of him because of his he's never been a cordial head coach. With Tennessee and USC, he's always been snippy. People don't like him. And maybe they want to see, like, hey, can he handle a head coaching job where pressure's not there? And so that's where I think Fresno could fit in. If he really wants to be a head coach and he really wants to. I'm assuming he wants to get back there. Because here's the thing. Is Texas going to hire Lane Kiffin if Charlie Strong is gone? Is LSU going to hire him? No.
No.
So my point is go to a job where the pressure's not high and see how you handle yourself there for, yes, obviously if he does well, probably like a 3-year gig. But that's the reason if you really want to be head coach, that's where he'll probably end up first. And that's the reason why. Everything else I would say no, but that's the reason if he really wants to be head coach, he can wait for a bigger job, but ADs want to say, how can you handle yourself as a head coach again? We don't want to pay you $7 million a year to take our program and either A, leave after 4 months, which unlikely, but he's done it before, or just be a bad coach. I want to see it somewhere else first with success where it's pressure's less and see if you can handle a program.
My guess is that he's still too expensive for Fresno State.
There's that too. But if he really wants to be head coach and he knows that, like, here's the thing. Like, it's not going to be, like you said, it's not going to be till January. So I doubt Fresno is going to wait that long, first of all, which kind of knocks him off the list. But what he's going to hear in the offseason from his agent, whoever he's talking with on behalf of him for other schools, they're like, there's a lot of question marks or baggage. So I'm thinking another AD that wants to pony up a lot of money wants to see him somewhere else. And so if he really, really wants to be a head coach, this opportunity, probably not this specific one, but it makes sense going this route.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's it's just my, to me, it's the financials.
I do too, but if you want to be head coach and if you win at Fresno and you're making $1.1 million a year or whatever, if they pay him the same, he has enough money. I don't think he needs the money, but he may rather. I don't know what he wants. Does he want a head coaching job more or money more? Or yeah, just be Nick Saban's sidekick and wait till he retires? I don't know. So
yeah, who knows?
That's my thought. Tedford, we all know everything. Tedford, it seems like that's a safe choice, right?
Tedford? Yeah.
Even though it may not be really that safe.
I mean, he's a retread.
That's what I mean. Like, we know what you're getting with him.
I suppose, yeah.
So what about Sarkisian? That's an interesting name real quick. What is your...
Character issues. Let's move on.
Okay. Tim McDonald. We already kind of mentioned that.
No coordinator experience, and you want to hand him a head coaching job? Next.
He's in the NFL, but DB's coach. Tim Trevino, is that right? Or Trevino, excuse me, Michigan OC?
That's the kind of guy that I would take a long look at, because he's an OC at a successful program, and I think, you know, with Virgil being the quarterback for at least, for you know, for the next 3 years, I think you need to find a guy, first and foremost, who can help him develop. So,
does he have ties to Fresno at all? Because I'm not familiar with his name.
No.
Okay. Matt Wells, move on. No, not going to happen.
No.
I don't know why that's on there. Justin Wilcox is interesting. A Wisconsin defensive coordinator, previously Washington and Boise State coordinator.
My big thing is I don't know if they're going to double down on a defensive coordinator again after DeRuiter.
Good point. All right. Then you got another offensive guy, as we mentioned briefly, Doug Nussmeier, which really the report's really shot in the dark by Dan Wolkin, who, whatever. I do love Dan Wolkin because he shot down a guy who fired me a job before because he is a dummy and accurately did so. And the reason there was a stink saying it's only half truth was because there was a word maybe might happen. That one word might, it was not definitive. So Wolkin's okay, but that was just a weird thing. It's like, yeah, maybe Doug Nussmeier. Do you really want we've seen the Florida offense. I don't want the Florida offense at Fresno. Do you?
I mean, it couldn't hurt. I mean, anything is better than what we got now.
I'd say that's debatable sometimes.
Well, but again, you know, I think he's the kind of guy who's had success in the past as well as an OC.
Another DC, which you probably say no on, is Pete Kitawoski, Washington Huskies DC.
That's another interesting one. I bet I don't know much about him off the top of my head, but. You know, Washington is having a very good year, and it's not just on the offensive side of the football.
10-5 Stanford. 10-5.
Keep an eye on as well.
And then Dwayne Walker, another guy who's not I don't think he has any coordinator experience. He's currently the Jags DC.
He flamed out at New Mexico State.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's him, Dwayne. Oh, yes. Never mind. I was thinking of a different guy. No. Negative. And UCLA, too. So, no. When he was there for part of it. Let's move on. A couple extra names he put on there. Tim Skipper, Florida running backs coach. I don't know. Former Pat Hill assistant. That's the only reason I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all.
John Baxter, special teams coach. Do you want another Brian Polian in town?
Everybody loves John Baxter around here. And I'm not going to lie, that would be a really interesting hire if I kind of see it as like the Tony Sanchez hire, if they can surround him with like a lot of veteran coaches.
Hold on. This line, the con, I get never been a head coach. Second half might be too eccentric for the job.
People love eccentricities. Why do you think Les Miles is so beloved?
I know. And Tony Sanchez so far, he's like, that's just a weird con. And then Trent Dilfer, I can't even mention.
Hard pass.
I think he'd rather have what's his name? The Monday Night Football game replacing oh crap, how do I not know his name? Not Sean McDonough, the other guy. Why am I blanking? I'm a dummy.
Are you talking about John Gruden?
Yes, John Gruden. I apologize. I'm like, what the heck? I pictured him in the VR from the other week in Monday Night Football. John Gruden. Like, I think he'd rather wait for that job if it comes open than being a head college football coach who has besides coaching high school guys in Elite 11, I don't think he has zero coaching experience. Oh, and apparently, nice to point this out, he does not, the article here, does not have a bachelor's degree. That technically might be a requirement for jobs at a university. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Not to say whatever, that's his path is fine for NFL guy. A lot of those guys may not finish their degree, but to be a state employee, that technically might be a requirement, so... Can we make that technicality the reason why or not? Say, oh, you're out. Sorry, Trent.
Sure, why not?